All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we worship here today, Father, we just want to stop and we just want to lift up your children in Russia and Ukraine. We know that there are a lot of believers in Ukraine. We pray that you be with them right now. We pray that you strengthen their hands as they minister to those suffering around them. We pray that you guide their steps in faithfulness as the enemy is literally upon them. We pray, Father, that you protect, that you thwart the plans of evil. Father, today we've gathered together to sing your praise. We've gathered together to remember Jesus, to look forward to our eternal hope, and to be strengthened for our daily walk. I pray that as we take a look at Jesus' life today, that you will strengthen us for our walk with him. And I pray, Lord, that we will fulfill your kingdom purposes for all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had an interesting week walking with Jesus. And it was filled with distractions. It was filled with distractions. And I have come to learn that when the enemy is throwing up distractions, that something's going on. That something is going on. So it always makes me pay attention. It always makes me open my eyes. It always makes me keep my ears open. And it always directs my prayers. And okay, Lord, what is going on here? What is going on and what do I need to see? Well, with all distractions, this requires, and you know, you've had distractions in your life at different times, and you've had things that have tried to shipwreck your faith. You have challenges and things that you have gone through that have been difficult. And even when life takes a lot of endurance, you need to know, we need to believe that God is working at every turn. God is working at every turn. And he is the one that can take all things and bring good. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve. And to be hopeless and to be helpless is pure atheism. That is not our belief. That is not our belief. And this morning we're going to take a look at Luke's gospel. We're going to take a look at Luke's gospel because in Luke's gospel, as Luke writes Luke and Acts, one of the major themes in his gospel is showing believers the endurance that they must have in light of all the distractions. He starts back in Luke chapter 4. As soon as Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down upon him, and Luke does something different. He throws the genealogy right there, and he says, this is who Jesus is. This is his bloodline. And then right at the beginning of Luke chapter 4, what happens to Jesus right after his baptism? He's taken to the wilderness. He is taken to the wilderness. So God has just broke through the heavens and said for everyone who has witnessed and who is within earshot, this is my beloved son. This is it. This is my gift to the world. And as soon as that thing happens, Jesus is out in the wilderness being distracted by the enemy. Church, when you are being distracted by the enemy, chances are God is trying to do something really big in your life. That's when the enemy steps it up. The enemy does not want you to fully live as God intends for you to live. And he doesn't have our souls. The enemy does not have our souls. Our Lord and Savior has our souls. So what can he do? He can distract us from God's purposes. And that's what he does with Jesus. He's in the wilderness, and the enemy just shows up and says, well, let's see if we can distract you with this. Let's see if we can distract you with that. Let's see if we can get you to focus on something other than what the Father would have you focus on. And church, the same thing is happening to us today. So how do we get through those distractions? How do we keep our focus on what is truly important? Well, we're gonna light speed ahead. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 starts with our prayers. Starts with our prayers. Our prayer life cannot lose focus. So Jesus tells this story about prayer in Luke chapter 18 verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus said, you know what? These people need a story. They need a story, and this story needs to be one that they learn the lesson that they should be praying all the time. And in their all the time prayers, they should never give up. They should never feel hopeless. They should never feel helpless, but they should pray constantly to God. So he gives them this story. Verse 2, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. Now for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, you know, I don't fear God and I don't respect man, but this widow keeps bothering me. I'm going to give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And Jesus says to them, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Church, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm not being, what's the word? Yeah. I'm not being facetious. Did the news of this week, did it drive you to your knees in prayer? Or did you say, oh, here we go. Russia first, China's going to go into Thailand next. What is Canada doing up there? It's all falling apart. Where'd you go? Where did you go? Did you go to your knees in prayer and say, God, we need you? Or did you self-diagnose all the things, the geopolitical situations in all of creation, and in your wisdom say, here it is. Where'd you go? I probably wasn't the only one that was tempted to go to number two. Was I? Probably not. And I probably wasn't the only one that didn't spend enough time doing number one. Probably not. God is the one who will fix this. God is the one who will fix it all. We either believe it or we don't. And if we don't believe it, then quit wasting your time. And if you do believe it, then get to work. Get to work, because the work of God's people is not diagnosing all the things around us in the world. The work of God's people is getting on our hands and knees and crying out to him to save, to deliver, to bring justice. That's the work of God's people. And we're filled with distractions, right? We're filled with distractions. How many hours did you pray this week? I didn't say minutes, I said hours. Now, what kept you from praying hours? What distractions kept you from praying hours this week? Prayer is the work of the church. You are the church. How much work did you get done this week? What were you distracted by? What were you distracted by? And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night. Does Jesus find us calling to him at all times? Does Jesus find us constantly going to him because he is our only answer? Are we distracted? Are we distracted? Is our opinion formed by headlines or scripture? Is our faith determined by world events or eternal events? Where are we? Where are we? Back in Luke chapter 11, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, look, here's his disciples asking, so what does prayer look like? What does it sound like? What should we be praying? And back in chapter 11, he gives them this amazing prayer. He says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Kind of says it all, doesn't it? It says it all. When you pray, pray like this. That God's name is holy. That God's kingdom will come. And church, God's kingdom has come. Because God's kingdom is not to be seen with signs. They're not going to say, look, there's God's kingdom. Or there's God's kingdom. Because what does Jesus say? God's kingdom is in your midst. God's kingdom is within every one of you who believes. We live by the eternal rule of God. We have been conformed to heavenly things. Now, when we say heavenly, let's get out of our mind otherworldly, eternal things. We have conformed to eternal things. Our battle is by eternal rules. We don't fight like the world fights. We fight like God fights. We live like Jesus lives. We pray as Jesus prays. And that is how we will make a difference in this world. That is how each and every one of us will fulfill the ministry that he has given to us. That's the only way. That's the only way. The prayer of Jesus really simplifies life, and it shows us God's purpose. Give us each day our daily bread. Father, you fed me today. Anybody eat breakfast? You're there. Well, Michael, I can't even think about breakfast because the price of bread has gone up. And can you believe what's happened with gasoline? Hey, newsflash, it's not done. So? You're going to worry about what the price of gas might be in 3 months? You're going to be thankful to God for filling your belly today. Which is it? Because Jesus says, here's how God does it. So do you want to do it like God does it? Or do you want to do it like everybody else? What's your choice? What's your choice? If you are not haunted, back in Luke chapter 18 by the last verse, that's verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. He tells this cute little story about this little old lady who doesn't have anything else to lean on but God. And she goes and she pesters him and she bothers him and she cries out to him, give me justice, give me justice. And finally, the judge takes care of this woman, and Jesus makes that connection and says, hey, your Father in heaven, he does even more than that. And then he asks this haunting question in verse 8. Nevertheless, even though this is the reality with God, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? That's the part that haunts me. When he returns, will we be looking for him? Will we be crying out to him day and night? Or will we be just as surprised at every other knee that's going to be forced to the ground to recognize the Creator of all things? Do not be caught surprised when Jesus comes back. Be doing the things of Jesus so that when he comes back, there is no surprise. Turn over a couple chapters to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, go down to verse 10. Luke 21:10. He said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilence. There'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they'll lay their hands on you. They'll persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. So settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You'll be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Jesus warns his followers of so many things that are going to happen and so many things that have happened. And church, I can't help but think and put our lives in his words and in his lessons because, well, Jesus speaks truth. He is truth. And his words are eternal. And I think that as difficult as 2 years of COVID has been, it was replaced like that with the specter of war. And I hope your eyes are opened to the fact that the enemy is going distraction, 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 distraction. Hey, look over here. Hey, look over here. That's all that's going on. That's all that's happening. Is it awful? Absolutely. It is awful. It's all been awful. It's all been awful. The enemy can do awful things. Should not surprise any of us anymore. It should not. Should not whatsoever. But our focus is not on the awful. Jesus says to his followers, hey, look, all these bad things are going to happen. Nation's going to rise up against nation. There's going to be fighting and pestilence and famine and starvation. It's going to get bad. And we sit here comfortably and go, yeah, it's bad for some people right now. Yeah. Well, it might get bad for us. In fact, he makes it a little more personal, does he not? He said, oh yeah, it's going to get bad for you too. You are going to be hated for my name's sake. Jesus says, my followers are going to be hated for my name's sake. Well, we're not that bad, are we? No. No, we're not. No, we're not. Church, we are not immune to the troubles and problems of this world. But we cannot take our eyes off the prize or lose our purpose. Because the enemy has just got everyone else riled up, shaken up, scared, worried, afraid, bitter, angry, closed off, self-contained. The enemy's got everybody else right where he wants him. And you and I, what are we to do? Well, we're supposed to do exactly what Jesus says. Hey, don't sweat it. Because I'm bringing you to an awesome situation, and that is your chance to witness. So let me ask you, this last week, did you take the opportunity of all the stuff that was going on? Did you take the opportunity to witness to someone about Jesus? Oh, can you believe the horrors of what's going on? No, I can't. But you know what? I don't have to worry about it because I'm eternal. And I'm protected. And no matter what happens, I am safe with Jesus. What strange words come out of your mouth? Have you not heard the news? Yeah, I have. I've heard the good news. Have you heard the good news? That's what Jesus says is our news. Our news is not Fox News. Our news is not CNN news. Our news is not headlines. Our news is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the wars, guess what? There's been wars before. And until Christ returns, there's going to be more. It's not new. Jesus was not being flippant to human suffering. Jesus knows that eternity is more than temporary. And so his focus was taking care of the sins of the world. Because that affects eternity. And then we follow in his footsteps and he says, church, you got to know that your focus has to be on eternity. Because that is what matters. It does two things. Number one, I don't get shaken up by temporary. I can't. I can't be shaken up, afraid, or worried about what's going to be on the newspaper, in the news, or happening around the world or in my neighborhood tomorrow. That's number one. Number two, I have to take every opportunity to let others know that they are trapped by the enemy, the one who brings death and destruction. And Jesus said, he brings life and an abundance thereof. And we know it, and we have it, and we've been awful stingy with it. But we're supposed to look for our opportunities. We're supposed to look for our opportunities to bear witness. Church, that's our purpose. That's our purpose. When the talk goes to war, I follow the Prince of Peace. When the talk goes to, can you believe how bad it is in the world? No, I sure can't, but it's a good thing I follow the one who has overcome the world. That's who we're supposed to be. That's the message that we have. That's the power of God that he has entrusted you with. He saved your souls from your sin, and you are going to get out of all of this unscathed. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. That's the promise of Jesus. That's the promise of Jesus. Jesus would say elsewhere, look, you're going to have trouble as long as you're in the world. You're going to have trouble, you're going to have problems, but hey, relax. I've overcome the world. Jesus took the very worst that the world could throw at him, and he won. That's who we serve. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. We serve the King of Kings. We serve the one who is above all others. He's gone for a little while, not because he doesn't love us, but because he's getting all things ready for us. And he's made us his sons and his daughters, his priests and his servants, and given us all the joy and the responsibility of continuing in his ministry. And so we don't lose heart. By our endurance, we'll save our souls. We go backwards into Luke chapter 17, verse 33. Luke 17, verse 33. He says, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Church, God has not called us to self-preservation. I'm going to let you in on a little truth. Self-preservation, even in difficult times, will not save us. Only God will save us. I mean, how many times did he say, hey, which of you by worrying about things can add a single hour to your life? Oh, you can't do that? You can't extend how many days you're supposed to be alive in the flesh by being afraid, by worrying about it? You don't have that power? That's not what your magic does? If you can't even do such a little thing as extend your life by 1 hour, what are you so afraid of? I don't know, Lord. I don't know what I'm so afraid of. I have no power of self-preservation. None. I don't. You ever go to a healthy person's funeral? Me too. We spend so much time trying to do God's work. And God says, trust me with preserving your soul. You get out there and do the work you're supposed to. Bear witness. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 is a very painful chapter. And we find at the end, in the middle of Luke chapter 23, Jesus finds himself hanging on a cross. Hanging on a cross. And again, on this side of it, we are very grateful for it. We know everything that it meant. We know that he's going to be risen from the grave, and we know how it all turns out. So it's okay. It's okay to look at it. It's okay to not shield our face from this horror. But even on the cross, and here's what I want us to see. Even on the cross, while Jesus is dying for our sins, when the work is good and important and world-changing for so many people, even then, the enemy tries to distract him. You heard that saying, don't kick me while I'm down, right? Well, Satan will. Satan will kick you when you're down. He'll try to distract you when you're hurting. He'll try to distract you when you're doing well. He'll try to distract you when you're hurting. He'll try to distract you while you're distracted. It's what he does. Because if you look closely and clearly upon your Lord and Savior, if you call upon his name, he will show up. And he brings life and love and forgiveness and victory in his wings. And the enemy wants anything but us calling upon him. And so Jesus hanging there on the cross, three times the enemy speaks through three people. Take a look at verse 35. The people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God. The chosen one. The soldiers in verse 36 also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. Verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself. You know, and us while you're at it. This is the enemy trying to distract Jesus from the very work that God sent him to do all the way till the end. Save yourself. Save yourself. Self-preservation. Do not trust the Father. You act to put your life above others. Save yourself. Save yourself. Now, most of us not having the power of Jesus, and really just being quite impotent when we're honest with ourselves, we don't act to save ourselves, but boy, we like to worry about it, don't we? I can't do anything to affect my life, but I'm going to sit here frozen in fear about it. I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to talk to people about Jesus. That feels safe. I'm going to save myself from ridicule. I'm going to save myself from being thought a weirdo or a religious zealot or any other horrible word flying around or that I can think of. I'm going to save myself. Save yourself from the trouble. Save yourself from the hassle. Save yourself from the burden of having to worry about the people around you. Just save yourself. Save yourself. Oh, and your family too, if you can. Aren't you glad he didn't save himself? Church, somebody wants to be really glad that you didn't just save yourself. Somebody needs you not to just save yourself. Jesus endured to save the world by giving himself up for us. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul reminds us, and again, you know the Scripture. We love the Scripture. I love the Scripture. We know the full armor of God, and we know what we should be putting on each day, and we know that we should not go to our spiritual battle unarmed or unprotected. But in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says one of the most amazing things in this section of Scripture in verse 12. We do not fight. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Church, that's not our fight. That's not our fight. That's not our fight. And yet that's what the enemy does to distract us. He tries to get us involved in things that really we shouldn't be worried about. That we shouldn't be worried about. Now, look, this is not saying, well, Michael, are you just heartless to the atrocities going on around you? No. No. I'm praying for our brothers and sisters, our faithful believers in Ukraine that are struggling and suffering right now. I'm praying for God to bring justice to this awful situation. But I haven't spent any time saying, all right, Lord, here's what the U.S. has got to do. Here's a military strategy that we have to enact to take care of Russia. And then after we do that, let's go over there and get China. And then since we're in Asia, let's swing on over and take care of North Korea. That's what I didn't do this week. Because that's not my fight. I still go to work every day with people who don't know Jesus. I still live close to people who don't know Jesus. I still have people in my family, and I won't name any names, that don't know Jesus. So whose fight are you fighting? Whose work are you doing? You going to stay focused, or are you going to get distracted? What's our purpose? What's the point? So, we need to suit up. We need to put on the full armor of God, and we need to realize who the enemy is and who we're actually fighting. Do not get distracted. Do not get distracted because the stakes are way too high. The stakes are way too high. And the stakes are higher than however many people die in this week's war. Because it's not even close to all the other numbers of people that have died in all the other wars. It's just not. What should shake us? What should hurt us? What should prick our hearts? Is all of those that die not knowing Jesus. That needs to be our focus. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Church, you need to know. You need to know that when the distractions are bold and loud, the enemy's trying to stop something good. The enemy is trying to stop something good. So you focus on God's word. You do exactly what Jesus did in the wilderness. When the enemy shows up and says, hey, you should focus on this, or you should care about this, or you should think about this, you put yourself back in scripture. You pray day and night. You ask God to direct your steps, to give you wisdom and understanding and His Spirit so that you can walk in the footsteps of Jesus and be who you're supposed to be and serve who you're supposed to serve and love and forgive who you're supposed to love and forgive. Do not get distracted by the things that the enemy puts in front of you. Keep the faith. Keep the path. If you are not a Christian this morning, we invite you to become one. And church, look, I know who I'm talking to. We are Christians this morning. Let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Because I do know this. Jesus was successful every time the enemy distracted him. In the wilderness, he didn't give in. God told him, you're my beloved son. And what that means is you are the Messiah of the world. You have a job to do. And the enemy said, let's test that theory. And Jesus won. Jesus went to the Father in the garden and said, Lord, Father, if there is any way that you can do something about this or change your plan, if there is any other way for us to save everybody, now would be a good time to let that be known. But if not, I'm on board. Whatever it takes and whatever it looks like. And then he went all the way to the cross and he had those nails in his hands and in his feet. Still being mocked and made fun of. And everyone looking up at him and saying, you know, all you got to do is save yourself. You'll prove your point. All you got to do is save yourself. We'll all believe. So come down. Whose distraction do you think that was? Who was speaking those words? That was the enemy. That was straight out of Satan's mouth. So when you're distracted, recognize the voice. Recognize the voice and say, not today. Not today, because I got bigger things to handle. I have eternal kingdom business to get to. Let's get to it.